Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. We all have busy lives. There are always plenty of things to do, fill our time with, to make sure that we have a roof over our heads and food in the fridge. And beyond those basic needs, there's the need to have good relationships, something we are aware of, especially in times like these when we've had isolation and separation. There's the need to relax, to have vacations, to enjoy life. In all of life, you're probably asking yourself, so where do I focus my time and my energy and my attention in order to have that good life? In order that life might be better, in order that I may be blessed. And to accomplish this, some pour themselves into their work, or into their family, or into their hobbies, or their friends, or whatever it may be, because they want the good life. They want to be blessed. But where is the good life truly found? Where is blessing truly found, and happiness? Well, here in our gospel reading, we heard the words, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Blessing is truly found, is really found in being able to have fellowship with God in his kingdom, with all his saints, feasting at the Lord's table, eating bread in the kingdom of God. But how do we get this blessing? Well, let's look at our gospel reading, because Jesus responds to this statement of a man who is sitting at table with him, eating at a dinner party. At a dinner party where there are those who do not believe in Jesus, who have rejected him for the time being, or are waiting and seeing, who perhaps do not believe that in Jesus has come the kingdom of God. But at this very dinner party, someone says, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus responds to this statement with a story. And this story gives us an indication of where and how we find blessing in the kingdom of God. So let's look at that story. Jesus tells us that a man gave a great banquet and invited many. Now, if you paid for a great banquet, you invested lots of time and energy and money in preparing it for a lot of people and invited certain people, honored them with an invitation, you would expect that a good number of them would come. You'd be sorely disappointed if all of them, all of the great number of people that you invited, said no. After all, what if at your wedding all the guests that you had invited said no, we're not going to come? But that's precisely what happens here. The guests decide not to come. We hear in the text these words. At the time for the banquet, the master sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. Everything is now ready. The servants have been hard at work preparing. The food is purchased and probably in process of being prepared, if not already totally prepared. The hall has been reserved and decorated and set up. Everything is now ready. So the master sends the servant to announce to everyone who's already been invited that it's time to come. This is probably the second invitation that they've received. Those to whom the servant makes this announcement have already received their invitation in advance. And now they're just told, look, it's time to come, time to show up. And surely you would think they would attend. But our text says they all alike began to make excuses. Now, why would you make excuses in a situation like this? Well, probably because you really don't want to go to the banquet, because you've got other things to do that seems so much more interesting and exciting. Going to the banquet might be boring. You don't like spending time with the host. Whatever the reason, you decide that something else takes priority. Your heart really isn't in going to this banquet when the time comes. So what are the excuses that are made by these guests? Are they legitimate excuses? Well, the first says, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Now, certainly it's important to go and look at new property, especially property that is part of the farm and is to be used to make a profit and feed the family, put food on the table, put a roof over your head. Surely this is important stuff. But couldn't it wait until after the banquet? Couldn't you look at the field another time? After all, why is it so pressing right at that moment? If it were so pressing, why didn't the guy look at it when he bought the field? Why isn't he there at the field looking at it right at that moment if it's so important? It seems he offers an excuse because for whatever reason, his own priorities, his own agenda, his own calendar, his schedule takes priority over this banquet. The man who's hosting the banquet is not a priority for this man. And the banquets he offers really aren't as good as looking at a field. Now, the next invitee that is mentioned has a similar excuse. Now, rather than a new field, he has just purchased some oxen, 5 yoke of oxen. I guess the oxen are better company than the guests and the hosts at the banquet. Those must be fascinating oxen. Or his own business and work must be better and more important than the good banquet he could enjoy from his host. Now, the third man mentioned has a bit of a different excuse. He simply says that because he has married a wife, he can't come. We don't say what he needs to do here. He just says, I've married a wife, so I can't come. Well, couldn't he have asked whether his new wife could come to the banquet? I mean, after all, there are all these open seats. All these people have said, no, they're not coming. So there's room. He could have asked, well, can't she come along? Here's an opportunity for a date night for the newly married couple. Is he embarrassed by the man who's invited him and doesn't want his new wife to know that he's associated with this man? Whatever the reason, he makes no effort to work things out so that he can come to the great banquet and perhaps that his new wife could also come to the great banquet to which he has already been invited, already been honored with an invitation. With all these, you see that they consider something, these invitees, these honored invitees, because they got the first invitation. They all consider that something else is better, more important than this banquet. Honoring their own commitments is more important than honoring the man who has honored them with an invitation. They believe that the good life, that blessing comes from something other than this banquet. So they decline the invitation at the last minute. And this would have been seen as an insult in this culture in which Jesus tells this story. And so the servant reports back to his master and tells him what has happened. Now, if you prepared a great feast, and the food is ready, the hall is ready, you've spent a great deal of time and money preparing for this, the tables are set for a lot of people who just didn't care that much, who turned up their noses at the gift that you gave them or offered to them, then you probably wouldn't be too happy. And we hear in the text the response of the master. It says, the master of the house became angry. He's not happy that these honored guests for whom he has labored and worked now refuse the gift that he's offered to them. So he has his servant go into the streets of the city and find people, specifically the people who are down and out, whom you would least expect to see at a great banquet prepared by someone who has a great deal of wealth. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. In that culture to which Jesus speaks, the lame here could not always even fully participate in Jewish worship. These are the people who do not have influence. They are at the lowest socioeconomic level. But they are the ones who are brought in. And the servant reports to the master after they're brought in, that there's still room. There are still places available. So the master sends his servants to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. Now here he's probably going outside of the city, into the country, to find people and bring them in. That command is given by the master. And then the master adds, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." And that's where we're left at the end of the story. We don't get an account of the banquet itself. It seems that banquet is still to come. We're just left here with the invitation, with the command to go out into the countryside and bring people in. And we do hear that those who refuse the invitation do not get to eat of the banquet. It seems that their spots will be taken by others, by the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and by the people outside of the city. Now, what does this story mean? What does Jesus say? Well, Jesus is pointing out to those who have not believed in him, who do not believe that the kingdom of God comes in him, that they are wrong to refuse his invitation. That he comes to them with great blessing, that here in him, in Jesus, is the good life. But yet many of them have chosen to see that other things are better than Jesus. That Jesus cannot be the one in whom they find life and health and happiness. And so he points out to them that then the master of the feast, God, will seek out other people. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame probably symbolize all those in the Jewish community who are at the lowest levels, whom you might least expect to be in the kingdom of God. And indeed, those are the people coming to hear Jesus, gathering around him. And really, all sinners, all people who understand their need, whether they are of high position or low position, all of us are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, whom God welcomes and invites into his banquet, because they understand their need and their unworthiness. And then the master is sent to those outside of the city, or the servant is sent to those outside of the city, who probably symbolize the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Again, people whom you would least expect. They symbolize us. God goes out to all kinds of people and brings them in. Even when those whom you might expect refuse the invitation and refuse to see that their life, that their good life and their blessing come from Jesus. Those who refuse the invitation here think they have far better things to do. And they finally lose out on tasting the banquet. Their spots are taken. In other words, those who refuse to feast on our Lord's word and receive his sacrament and do not want and desire to eat of the great feast of the Lamb in the kingdom of heaven will finally not taste of it. They will be excluded. They refuse the blessing of eternal life forever with God. And notice how harmless and seemingly industrious these people were who refused the invitation. After all, they're doing good things. They're taking care of their property. Shouldn't you take care of your spouse? But they put those things before the host and his meal. There are many good things to do in this world, but we must not put them before and make them a priority over hearing our Lord's word and receiving his sacrament. Here in this place, we do indeed feast on our Lord's word and his visible word in the Lord's Supper. Our Lord invites us here to be strengthened in faith and love, so that we may be finally at the great feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. This here is a foretaste of the feast to come. Don't refuse this invitation or put it off or think that a job or a career or business or even family takes precedence over our Lord and his gifts. After all, remember when it comes to your work and business and all the things you do to pay for food that are good, Jesus does say, in Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Trust our Lord that he does provide for you. Seek first his kingdom." And remember that you're also called, when it comes to family, to love Jesus even more than your family members. Jesus says in Matthew 10:37, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Don't put family before our Lord. Don't let family turn you aside from our Lord. Instead of skipping church for the family event, invite the family to church, just like that man could have invited his wife to come to the banquet. But come here to feast on our Lord and his gifts, because here is blessing better than anything else in the world. Here we find the one who gives us the good life, Jesus Christ. Here we have a God who, like the master in this story, sacrifices himself on behalf of us. He, at his own expense, spreads a feast for us. This feast was spread at the expense of his own son, who died as the Lamb of God on the cross. He died in our place and then gives us his body and his blood to eat and to drink. He gives us here his word so that we might receive new life and strength, and so that we might be brought finally to the great feast of the Lamb in his kingdom forever. Believe, dear Christian, that this meal here gives you better things than whatever a job or a family can give you. This food here provides not only physical life, like your job does, but it provides eternal physical life. The fellowship you have here with this family, the body of Christ, is better than the fellowship that you have with your biological family, because here you have fellowship with those of the same confession of faith in Christ, with whom you are united, as we heard so well described in our epistle reading, where it talked about those who are hostile, those people who are different, are united in Jesus in one man, in one body, and are built into one church. What a wonderful answer to the conflict and division that we see in our world today, that this division and this new life is found only in Jesus. And here, at this table, people are united of all tribes and languages and peoples and colors of skin in the one holy body of Christ. Christ is the answer for these world's problems. And we come to this feast to taste of it. And we, as his servants, go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and the streets and the lanes and invite all kinds of people to come here and be at this table with us. The empty spots in our sanctuary, the empty parking spots in our parking lot, are opportunities to invite others to come and receive blessing from our Lord, so that they might receive eternal blessing forever at the great feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Receive the invitation of our Lord and believe, indeed, that blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.